be able to do that. So give these ladies a clap. You shared so well. Thank you. I'm just going to invite Pastor Ham and Unji up now. We might give them that microphone. Yeah. These guys are part of the History Church up in Sydney, and we invited them down for this weekend to come and hang out with us a little bit. So Thursday night they were with our Jack and Olivia's life group, young adult kind of life group, and the interns as well. And we had a great night of prayer and sharing, and Unji led us in worship, and that was a fantastic evening. And then Friday night you were at the youth group, and they did everything. They preached and ran games and led worship and greeted and everything. And these guys are like expert youth pastors. They've been doing it for a long, long time. And you know that we support Mike and Jane in the Middle East, and we support them financially and as well as with prayer and everything. So Ham and Unji are from the same church and are involved in the same mission to the Middle East. You actually just came back from Egypt, didn't you?
Yes, just came back from Egypt
a couple of weeks
last
ago.
Week.
Yeah. So they're always off. They've taken their youth. They came back with their youth from Egypt, and they've taken their youth also to Jordan this year and Korea this year. So in the school holidays, they take their teenagers overseas and all the time. And we would love, even next year, they've invited us if we would like to bring some teenagers or some young people maybe to Korea in the middle of next year. We're looking at possibly doing something like that. And that's part of this partnership that God is really growing together, which is really, really special. So now you've only been married for a year, right?
Yes.
Wow. Do they look like an old married couple or just married or...? Everyone's probably thinking Unji's like a year 10 student that Ham brought along with him as an example. What's the first year of marriage been like, Unji?
I think it's been a bit crazy. It's just been 1 year and 1 month. So it's been a joy, though, to be able to run together. And so I think it's special to have a partner you can do God's work with. And so it's been really good to share and in this journey together. And expensive as well because we travelled together, but it's been good in all of it.
So the honeymoon was like a couple of days together and then a conference and then a couple more days and then ministry, and they went all over the world. And now we were trying to work out in the car this week, weren't we, when we kind of first met. I think Pastor Mike, who we're supporting with the missions, brought you down. You guys were much younger. Unji, you would have probably still been a teenager maybe.
Yeah. I think I was like just out of high school or something.
Yeah, so it's probably 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
And what's your first memory of coming to this church and connecting with us and being involved with us?
I think it was quite different. We took a van down, a group of us that were being discipled under Pastor Mike. And so we came down to see Pastor Caleb and the crew here and some of the interns that were at the time interning. And so it was quite different. I met like some of these guys that are here, like Lee and Josh, and some of these other guys, young guys, just here being trained and in the spirit. And it was really great to connect with others that spoke the same language, that kind of shared the same spirit and a heart for, you know, souls being saved in the kingdom of God. And so it was quite encouraging to see another young bunch here also running for the kingdom. And so I think it was a divine connection that God really brought us together. Like, yeah. It wasn't something that a man could orchestrate, but it was kind of from God that we have been running together.
Yeah.
And so I think like almost 10 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost been 10 years. And these guys were just like the young adults when I first started preaching at them and meeting them and hanging out with them, and we've been to all different places together, and just to see these guys grow up, and they're going to share a bit about that today, but to grow up and really give their whole life to God, to lay down their life and hear the call of the Lord and then give that to Him and then get married around that, and it's just really, really incredible. They just give so much, and because God has done so much inside of them, and I'll leave them now to share a bit about that. They're going to tell us our story of how they responded to the call of God. So bless you.
So it's a pleasure being here with you guys today. And just because we don't have too long, I'm just going to hand the mic over to Pastor Ham, and he's going to do the honor of sharing our story with you guys today.
Hi guys, my name is Hamin, but my school teachers couldn't really pronounce my name, so they call me Ham instead. He just cut the name in half and it just becomes Ham. So I'm Ham, I'm 33 years old. I just want to start off by saying thank you so much, Pastor Caleb, for calling us and bringing us out of Sydney from the depths of the other world and then bringing us into apparently the best city in the world. It's been great. And thank you, Discover Church, for inviting us to stand here today. And not only that, I thank you guys for supporting Pastor Mike, who's my one of my mentors, our mentors. He married us off. He's right now, I don't know where he's at. He's probably back in Turkey. But your support supports him to travel and do what he has to do to mentor not just people like us, but the next generation of the Arabic-speaking population right now. So I want to say a big thank you to you. I want to start off today. I want to share a little bit about his church, our story, and then get to a finish off in a place where you might be a little bit new and... But it's just to show what we do back in Sydney and in the field. I'll start off by showing a couple of pictures, always helps. A history church. This is our history church in bird's eye view, if you Google it. So that outline, this wonky shaped, it almost looks like Israel, to be honest. This wonky shaped area is our church, and we moved in 2 years ago, and it was actually an old Salvation Army building, 100 years old. So before the suburb of Granville even like kind of really developed, there was this old building church, Salvation Army Church, that were there. And then we, by God's grace, bought it. The first thing I said to, I think, P. Caleb when I came here was, this place, like, we would love to have a space like this. And I know that you're moving into another property. That's God's blessing and expansion and favor. We've had to downsize because you know how the property market is in Sydney is crazy. But that's our church. And when we arrived into the church, it was all run down. It was just not fit for purpose. So by God's grace, within 1 month, we got the whole place together. Next slide, please. We started renovating people who were carpenters, plumbers, you name it. It was Nehemiah, go, go, go. It was Kairos time. What was not able to be achieved in 100 years, in 52 days. We were yalla, yalla, yalla ring, and we got it done. Next slide, please. I don't know. I'm sure there's like carpenters and like people in the building. You know how you can start construction from like 7 a.m. and you have to finish by 5 p.m. By God's grace, it was pouring rain during this time. So even if you were like drilling and stuff like that, no one could hear us. So we passed via like WHS. We kept on going all day, all night. We covered the windows with black plastic bags so no one could see what we were doing inside. And we were just pumping it. And this is what it looks like now. Next slide. That's our church right now. It doesn't fit all of our church. That's why we have two services on Sunday, two main services, 10:30 and 1:30 p.m. It's always on, meaning, you know, you guys have a prayer room. This whole building is the prayer room. So we always have either someone worshiping or the prayer music's on. And anyone who knows our secret code can come in and they can just have a time of prayer. Moving on. This is our youth group. We've got about 42 members registered, and this is primarily my role as an associate pastor, but also the youth pastor. They had a great time on Friday without me while I was here with Discover Youth. Next slide. So I want to share a little bit about myself. Believe it or not, I play cricket. I play cricket, and my fielding place was usually point cover. Right, that's the time when you have to do a lot of the divings. I even played wiki for a little bit. Not the best batsman, but I was usually first drop over the wicket, right arm, medium pace bowler. So that was my role in this picture where there is the Aussies, there's Papua New Guineans, but I was the only Asian and I was honored. Believe it or not, I even captained this captain part of the cricket team. When the captain was out because of injury, I captained the year 12 senior cricket team. Me, myself, guy born in Korea. I'm also a nurse by trade. So that's what I do in my spare time. I'm actually a nurse at a GP. I worked in emergency for a little bit in a tertiary hospital. But because of the working hours, I really need to cut back. Hence why I'm a nurse. Next slide. I'm also when I graduated high school, I joined the Australian Army as a reservist first. And I went through the first appointment course, graduated and really wanted to go in infantry, but they said, no, we really need SIGs. So they put me in SIGs, computer, geeky, telecommunication, jamming other people and making sure our comms were good. It didn't really suit me, but I enjoyed my time there. Next slide. So whenever we had times to do not technical stuff and get on Blackhawks and go do exercises, I was always very keen. So I had my own squadron. I was leading people who are much older than me. I was like, what, 20, mid-20s during this time, but I was leading people, 40, 50-year-olds who are grandpas, and that was my squadron. And that was a big, it was almost, I felt like I was becoming a pastor of this squad as I looked after not just their training and their capabilities, but their whole lives. We had people who were going through tough times and I had to counsel them. So that was God's like grace in my life to enter into pastoring. Next slide. While I'm also nursing, so as a nurse, for those who work in healthcare, we listen to doctor's orders. So I'm like, carrying the doctor's orders. And if you work in healthcare, it's so much like the army. The doctor is like the lieutenant or the captain, and he writes the orders, and then the nurse receives it, and then the nurse executes it amongst their patient care. So it's like, oh my goodness. So from a nursing point of view, I was more like a minion receiving orders and caring for patients. But in my army life, I'm the one giving orders. So I'm like, there's a bit of a mismatch. So I'm like, you know what? I think I can do better. So I studied medicine. I applied to go to medicine and I got in. But when I went to medicine, you got to understand, I don't have any science background, no physics, no chemistry, no nothing. But there was a conviction and passion in my heart. I could do this. If I can do it in the army world, I can do it in the civilian world. So I went and set all the medical exams that you got to understand, I was the first one to finish. I had zero idea what I was doing. It was multiple choice. The exams are multiple choice. You know what I did? Because I have no idea what this chemistry equation thing is, because I don't even know the periodic table. So when there's a question and I have no idea, do you guys know the pencil method? You know, the pencil is like hexagonal, and then you just draw like dots, A, B, C, and you just roll it. And then whatever lands, that's the answer. I did a bit of that. The other one is a little bit more disgusting, but hey, this works. You pluck a hair from your head and then you put it in your mouth and you take it out, and then there's spitballs, right? And there's usually about four. And the biggest spitball from the left to right, A, B, C, D, that's the answer. So that's what I did. And I finished super early, but you can't leave early after you finish. So I did that, and you know, my mark was like 52 out of 100%. Like, it's the lowest of the lows. With that mark, with the confidence of the Lord, I can do this. I applied to every medical university in all of Australia. Of course they'll say no, right? But one day I'm like, you know, I saw in an ad a medical school in Samoa. So I applied to a medical school in Samoa. While I'm doing my army, while I'm doing my nursing, while I'm doing all my church stuff, I applied, and they laughed at my score, but they said, hey, we'll do an interview. Let's see who you are. And in that interview, God, by God's grace, I blitzed it. I did really well with my wit, my humor, my honesty, and they said, come on in. And that, so a lot of my time, I was in Samoa learning how to do medicine. And because a medical school in Samoa, they're not the most fanciest place, they send you out to do your medical placement. So this is a picture of me doing a medical placement in Korea. I went to India, I went to Samoa like four times, been all over Australia, even came to Melbourne to do a bit of a placement here. All that stuff was happening. But this is where God's intervention starts to come in. Long story short, medical doctor, about to become a medical doctor, I was an army reservist full time. I had my own house, I had my own car, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm doing pretty well for myself. But then, who you meet is super important. Who you meet in life and their influence over you is super important. And that's the equivalent of Pastor Caleb. Unji's father is the founding pastor of His Story Church. And at His Story Church, he'll come to me and go to me, hey, Ham, like, your medical degree, your army officer, it's good, but do you want to be just an officer in the Australian army or a general in the kingdom of God? Do you want to use your doctor skills to cure people or be someone who brings the eternal gospel and bring eternal life? And I was so offended when he said that to me. No one spoke to me like that. But when he spoke to me like that, right, he would be the only one to come to me and just speak directly to me. Hey, you know, your stuff, it's good, but you can do better. And I'm like, what is going on? Because it felt like I'm eating my pasta, my pizza, and I'm enjoying my pizza and my pasta, but there's this other guy who goes, your Eagle Boys, your Domino's, you got nothing. That's nothing. You got to come to Italy and try it out. So I'm enjoying my life, doing really well and studying and doing challenging myself, but he will come and then suddenly go, hey, there's something better. It felt like he knew a secret more than what I was experiencing. And that triggered me very hard. Long story short, what happened was I had 8 weeks to finish medicine. I had tied my life from medicine to army because I'm like waking up going, ba, 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 ba. And then one day I'm going, Margaret, come on, come here, come here, come on, come out of the bed. We need to go to the toilet, right? One time I'm studying, another time worshiping, leading worship. God, you are good. It was just too crazy. So what I did was, army, can you sponsor me to become a doctor, pay for my Samoan medical degree, and then recognize it. And then if you sponsor my medical degree, then I'll give like 8 years of my life as a doctor in the army. The agreement and the signature was already signed. But 8 weeks before I was about to finish my medical degree and become a doctor in the Australian Army, Armed Forces, God's pull of my life was too clear. It was too undeniable. Irrevocable. I couldn't ignore it anymore. And it first started with my spiritual authority speaking to my life and saying, Ham, what you're doing, it's great, but there's something else in your life. He saw something inside of me and he started to poke me, pierce me, trigger me, provoke me. While this was happening, my spiritual authority speaking destiny into my life, which I didn't consider destiny, I considered like violation. Who are you to speak to me like this? While he was speaking to me, as I was just reading the scriptures, Bible, just harmlessly reading it, there was a time where in, I think it was Exodus or Leviticus, somewhere, the Bible spoke to me in such a clear way. There's a point where he says, I will pierce my ear with an awl. A-W-L. I didn't even know what that meant. I still don't know. But I'm like, what is this? And when I read into it, there's a law back in the Old Testament where the Israelites were in the wilderness and I did something to this lovely lady, I will become her slave. So if I had to pay off some debt or something, I will become her slave. Same Israelites, but I'll become her slave. But every 7 years, even though my debt might require 10 years of my service to this lady, every 7 years, it's called the year of Jubilee, reset. Every slave becomes free. They can be free. Even though I owe 10 years, on the seventh year, I become free. But there is a clause in the contract, in the law, that says, but if the servant loves the master so much, he or she can forego that privilege and that right and forever be this person's slave. And I'm reading that. I've read that before probably. I've seen that. I've never heard a message on that. But I'm reading it and suddenly the conviction of the Holy Spirit, boom, hits me and goes, Ham, do you have that earring on your ear? I've been to North Korea. I've done my trips to Cambodia, Southeast Asia, mission trips. I've done many things in church. I was a PK too. I'm a PK too. But in that moment of time, the word became rhema. It spoke to me very personally and goes, Ham, if an alien came onto this earth and saw you, very successful, very smart, very outstanding, pioneering, but still there is no ear to mark you, distinguish you from any other person in the world, pursuing the Australian dream, the American dream. And it started to push, and that started to convict me. Multiple, not just those two events, other events started to convict me and convict me and convict me, and then boom, COVID hit. The greatest global reset in the modern times, right? And then it hit me as revelation. Hey, everything's closed right now. I can't even go to the hospital to finish my 8 weeks of placement. Everything's on pause. Everything's getting delayed. If I continue my life as normal, isn't that more crazy? The world is upside down. And for me to just be delayed, pause, and just walk normally as if nothing happened. Isn't that even more crazy? And then in a message someone preached, a time where about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah comes, takes off his clothes, doesn't even say hi, no pastoral care, no shepherd heart. He just goes, chucks his cloak on Elisha, he receives it, and he's like, this is the moment. I can decide either to go right or just live my life normally. And when I heard the message, oh my goodness, Elisha, what does he do? He goes to Elijah, Elijah, wait a second, can I just say goodbye to my parents and I'm going to follow you? And what happens is he was doing a great job. Doctor, medical army, he was living a great job. He was smart, he was pioneering. But at that moment, from the call of the God-appointed person, he responds, let's go of his net, let's go of all his career, and then he just falls into alignment and follows Elijah. Messages, Bibles, leadership speaking to me, all these things started to conjure up. So 8 weeks into COVID, 8 weeks before I finished my medical degree, I make the decision, I'm out. I let go of everything. God, you can do immeasurably more through me, in me, my life, than my medical degree or my army or whatever I pursue, I follow you. So I let go of medicine. I let go of the army. Mind you, the army was not happy because I signed the contract for 8 years. They came at me. They threatened me legally. They threatened me with the chain of command, etc., etc. In fact, when I first told them, they thought I was depressed. They were going to send a medical doctor to my home to see if I was depressed. I'm like, don't come to my home. We'll meet halfway. We met halfway. I did the whole examination at a cafe just to make sure, you know, that I don't freak out and run away. And they're like, hey, you are not depressed at all. You are the most like clear-minded person I've met in the last month. Great. I'm just going to write a report. But the chain of command, he still didn't believe me. So he sent me to a psychologist. So I went through a doctor, psychologist, and I said exactly the same thing. I will not be in integrity right now if I told you my heart to pursue this career has subsided significantly. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I know it's not a medical doctor. So I want to be in integrity to tell you right now that I want to stop. I'll cover all the legal costs, all the disciplinary issues. I'll bury it all. And then through God's grace and another testimony for another time, I came out of the army and I was just naked before the Lord. No degree, nothing to show off who I am, what I'm doing. I just presented myself to God. Here I am, God, use me. And the moment I let go of everything, the first thing the church leadership said to me was, great job, now take over youth. Take over the youth group, right? I ain't gonna pay you, just take over the youth. Oh, yes, sir. And what happened was the word obedience started to come into my heart. We know, everyone knows the word obedience, but it started to be lived out in my life, to deny myself, to follow someone else's command and just follow. Next slide, please. While I was doing youth group, I fell in love with someone else who was serving part of youth, and that was Inji. The person on my left is my mum. The person on my right next to Inji, the two people, is Pastor Joshua Park and Inji's mum, Joy. Next slide. What do we do now? We do multiple things, but one of the main things that we do is we train the next generation. We train our guys, and we're not doing a token Friday night youth kind of thing. We meet multiple times a week and we train them. And not only that, we take them to the Middle East, not for, it's a big topic, but not just to tickle their feathers and just to give them an idea of what the world looks like. But with these guys, young people, we do ministry. We stand shoulder to shoulder to shoulder and they minister to us because we realize when we do missions, right, it is so much more effective having someone like Aurora come up and declare the word than someone like me who's 33 speaking to young people. People who are on their age level speaking, holding the mic and declaring truth is so much more powerful than someone like a Pastor Caleb, 40, 50, 60-year-old, all seminared up, all experienced up. And we realized, hey, there's a textbook way to do missions and outreach and missions, and there is just like the way just to do it. And we don't know exactly what we're doing, but we're following it. We're praying, we're following the Spirit. When we get it wrong, we get it wrong. But when we get it right, hallelujah. And we just push it. And one of the ways we found was it is so much more effective having a young guy minister to a young guy. So part of it is a win-win situation. Young guys ministering to other young guys, but also they get developed while they're doing it. And that's what my role is, to make sure I cover them, train them, teach them, coach them, give them feedback, and we rise together. Next slide, please. Caleb, if you know Caleb's story, he said after he got married, he went on a one-month honeymoon. For me, when I first heard that many years ago, the upmanship, one upmanship arose in my heart. And I'm like, I'm going to beat that guy. Literally, that's what I said when I was younger. And what happened was, when we got married, we went on a three-month honeymoon. just to show who's boss. But it wasn't a full honeymoon. In the midst of honeymoon, we were taking youth group to the Jordan. We took guys to Tunisia. We met with our young adults in Western Sahara. Next slide. This is a picture of us, Sahara. We hit London and we hit a church. We did a conference in church as well. Next slide. Then we went to America. We went to Paris. We did another conference. They were serving. So it was a honeymoon, but with the Lord as well. All right. Next slide. And this is what we do. As much as you might think, they're falling in line right now. Our next generation, we teach them how to stand. In a TikTok generation where they can't focus for 3 seconds, we make sure we extend their attention span. We teach them how to stand. We teach them how to do a handshake. We teach them how to wash up after themselves. When they take off their shoes, to put it neatly and not just like anywhere like this. We teach them with all the little things. We teach them so that we rise, we make young gentlemen and women, not just for the workplace, but for the kingdom of God. And our vision is create Daniels who say no to the ways of Babylon, but can hold their own, like a Joseph, like a Daniel in this generation, like a Joshua, who can see what the father generation is doing and know their place. Before Joshua becomes the Joshua that we know, you would have seen in scripture, he serves Moses like a donkey, like he's there doing everything. But then when Moses dies, Joshua doesn't create a new thing, doesn't create a new ABN, new business. It's like, this is now my inheritance. What God has been doing in Moses, God, can you be that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to me? And I walk in that. His calling was very clear. He didn't make any new vision. He didn't create new dream. I'm going to be a doctor or a... No, he was just simply following the footsteps of someone above him who's already walking in the call of God. Next slide, please. So this is what we do. We get them to do planks and we help them. We help them do the planks. We help them. This is more of a physical representation of what we do for them spiritually. We push them, we train them, and we inspire them to go longer, further, and faster. Can I show you a video of 2 weeks ago, we came back from Egypt, and we want to show you what we do. Is that okay? I'll show you a picture, a video of what we do in Egypt. So we went to Egypt. We don't know exactly what we're doing, but we got all these Egyptian youth there. They come, all right, let's worship the Lord. And there are some amazing things that happen. You'll see many of the times the youth, they're 14, 15, they're holding the mic, sharing their testimony, delivering the word of God. They're doing their thing. They're leading worship. They do everything. Of course, we're there coaching and making sure the boat doesn't fully tip, go capsize, but it doesn't, because the Spirit of the Lord helps and we prepare them pretty well. All right, let's see the video. The pyramids was on the last day. We make it look like as if it's a holiday, it wasn't. After all their ministry, this was their one day out. But you never late, you always on time. Remember when you got me out there, you got me out there. And now I see your blessings every day. Thankful that your kingdom's on the way. Angels all around me, hear them sing like, oh. I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. The blurred screens are all missionaries. We just keep for their safety, identity, so we blur them out. Forever we'll be singing like, oh, walk about the grave, yeah, I'm alive now. This is our own internal times of worship. 6:30 in the morning usually. I know it won't ever die out. And now I see your blessing. finish off with a debrief at night time. Always do exercise. And we'll open conferences for all of our Egyptian friends. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing like, oh. That's on a boat. Everything that's happening is a floating boat. Because of security reasons, we're on a boat. You invite them into the boat, and that's our safety mechanism. 16 years old, 15 years old, they lead everything. She's 15. And we have good fun in between. I'll never get used to this. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing like, oh, I'll never get. And believe it or not, in Egypt they've got a ski resort. In Egypt, in all places. So we have heaps of fun. Don't think it's all just ministry, paddle tennis, soccer. That's it. That's a quick glimpse of what we do. Next gen. Can I have the light? So that's what we do. And it's done by trial and error. But I can do that because I've got someone like Pastor Joshua Park who allows for that, who looks into that, serves into that, who spoke that into me. And whatever I've received, hey, you know what? Next gen, you're 14, 13. You don't get a baby version of the Holy Spirit. Activate now. We get them to pray, we get them to train, and they might not be fully there yet, but as long as their posture and attitude, their heart is right before the Lord, we give them the stage, we give them the platform. And to demonstrate this, I'm like, you know what? We can do this right now. So I've been living in Pastor Caleb's house in the glory room in front of, right next to the front, the front door. It's actually Aurora's room. So we've been borrowing her room. Do you know Aurora was, where are you? Oh, she's born on the July 7-7, perfect numbers. You know what I'm saying? I was born in March the 7th as well, so 3-7. These are perfect numbers. So these things, like, you speak to me deeply. But anyway, I'm using Aurora's room and she's made the way. I'm like, Aurora, maybe you can demonstrate for us what we do at our youth group and how we train the next generation. So, you know, right now it should be me getting to the point of the message, like point of this whole presentation. But I'm like, you know what? This is what we do at youth. So I made the script, gave it to Aurora. It's like 4 or 5 minutes, practice 2-3 hours to deliver what she's about. So she's about to deliver what I was supposed to deliver. Does that make sense? So as much as it's Aurora, a year 7 delivering it, you can understand if it's allowed in the pulpit through the blessing of P. Caleb, through the blessing of the authority of the house, it is the word of God. So see, past Aurora, hear the message that is being delivered right now and here in the now. Amen? Let's give it up for Big Aurora!
Hello everyone, my name is Aurora and I'm in year 7 this year. Today I'll be sharing with you all a short message called Our Calling. Have you ever asked yourself the question, when did Jesus' disciples get saved? The 12 that followed Jesus, Peter, James, John and the rest, when was the moment that they received their salvation? Was it when they were first called by Jesus? Was it when they witnessed his many miracles? Was it when they saw Jesus crucified and hung on the cross for the sins of the world? Or was it during the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on them? The honest answer is, nobody really knows. Not even my dad knows. Nobody can pinpoint the exact moment in time when the disciples, the closest people to Jesus, received their salvation. But what we know is from the beginning, from the moment the disciples were called to let go of their nets and follow Jesus, their calling was very clear. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus underlines the calling for outreach and missions the moment that one starts to follow Jesus. Follow me. That's discipleship. And on the other side of the coin, I'll make you fishers of men. That's missions, that's evangelism. It is irrevocable and undeniable calling that one inherits when called to follow Jesus. At Discover Church, we adopted Pastor Mike as one of our missionaries. His father passed away from cancer, and he deteriorated quite quickly but had enough time to say goodbye to all his family. Imagine if it was your parents saying their last words before passing away. If it was my dad speaking his last words, he wouldn't say something like, "Aurora, come here, come here. I have something very important to tell you. Oporto is better than McDonald's." That would be ridiculous. He wouldn't say, "Aurora, I have a confession. When you were 8, I snuck into your room and ate all your M&Ms. No, that would be a waste of his words. He'd probably say something like, "Take care of your mother, take care of your siblings. I love you much, so much." He would say something that is important to me at the time. At the very end of the book of Matthew, before Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, he said his last words. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. From the beginning, to go and make fishers of men, till the very end, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus' command was very clear. His hope for us, his concern for us, his calling for us was all very clear. For missions, for evangelism, for discipleship. The Bible is very clear on our calling. It doesn't matter what job you have, teacher, lawyer, nurse, carpenter, they're all good, but they only serve as a backdrop for Jesus' plan through us. To become fishers of men and make disciples, to reach out to others and share the great blessing of and love of Jesus Christ, to walk with others into Jesus' grace. And it's the same blessing of and grace of Jesus Christ that transforms us to become more like him. This is what discipleship looks like. This is what missions looks like. This is what true joy, purpose, and freedom looks like. It doesn't matter where you come from, Sydney, Korea, the Middle East, our calling's all the same, to make disciples of all nations. But the strategies are all different in our different contexts. I'll finish with this. You are either being discipled, reaching out to make disciples, or doing both at the same time. This is the most important calling we have in Christ. When we go to heaven through our faith in Christ, Jesus will ask us, "Do you remember the very first thing and the very last thing I asked of you? How'd you go with that?" The calling isn't just for a pastor or a missionary. It's for everyone that confesses their life to Jesus.